WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The road to the White House winding through Southwest battleground states. Former President Trump in New Mexico and Nevada. Vice President Kamala Harris also in Nevada and Arizona, focusing on her policies. ABC's Karen Travers has more.
She's been talking about that to-do list, going through policy items that are on it, because, you know, polls have shown people still do want to hear from her about the details of what she would do if she's elected. So I think you'll hear her talk about reproductive rights, as we just talked about, but also how to bring down housing costs, how to bring down child care costs, the sandwich generation, people who are caring for younger children, but also aging adults.
The U.S. condemned North Korea's ICBM launch today. Leader Kim Jong-un claiming it was intended as a message, he says, to rivals who have escalated tensions in the region. Halloween could break some records in the Northeast. Temperatures nearing the 80s in New York City and Boston. The dry conditions, though, also raising the threat of wildfires. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance have announced nearly $500,000 in funding to expand reproductive and maternal health care coverage. According to a press release, Wisconsin is one of 14 states to receive the funding through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Expanding Access to Women's Health Grant Program. The OCI will use the funding to conduct a consumer survey, evaluate compliance with contraceptive coverage mandates, and promote access to the services. In a little over a week of early voting, Wisconsin has already surpassed 1 million total votes submitted. According to election officials, about 1.25 million absentee ballots were requested across the state for the November election, and about 1.1 million have already been submitted through in-person absentee votes and mail-in votes. Election officials are also reminding voters that all ballots must be received by 8 p.m. on election day to be counted, and they should only use official sources like the Wisconsin Election Commission website for voting information. Duluth officials say construction on the new seawall project near the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center is still on schedule. The project seeks to rebuild the failing seawall to make it more resilient and build connectivity between Bayfront and Canal Park. Officials say that the project is scheduled to be wrapped up sometime around June, as last year's mild winter weather helped crews get started on parts of the project early. The deteriorating seawall had led to sinkholes forming and flooding on the streets during inclement weather. A popular yearly event in Hayward is once again looking to the community for help designing this year's logo. On Wednesday, the Hayward Chamber of Commerce officially launched its yearly contest to design the logo for the Muskie Festival. The 75th iteration of Muskie Fest is scheduled for June 20th to June 22nd, and logo submissions must be submitted by January 5th. According to the rules, the logo submissions must include the theme of 75 years of casting memories, as well as the event's name, date, and location. Entries can be submitted online or in person. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers shorthanded. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Detroit Lions Sunday, but had seven players missing from practice, including three starting offensive linemen and quarterback Jordan Love, all with injuries suffered against the Jaguars. I asked Love if he thinks he can play this week despite a groin injury.
I've actually never had a groin injury to this severity, but I'm going to keep working, keep doing rehab and treatment, and get myself ready to go.
The Lions had 10 players on the injury list, unable to practice. NBA, the Bucks and the Grizzlies tonight in Memphis. The Bucks are 1-3. The Grizzlies 2-3. The Badgers men's basketball team with a 78-62 preseason win over UW River Falls. Greg Gard.
In terms of the game, obviously we got a long ways to go defensively. That's not new news. I thought we did some good things at times, but you know, as I went to the bench, I thought we got leaky in different areas, and it shows me who's more ready than others.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Snow possibly mixed with rain this afternoon, and it could be heavy at times. And those winds are whipping, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, crashing our temperatures with snow accumulations around 2 to 4 inches. A winter weather advisory remains in effect through 8 p.m. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 35.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I have D.C. Metro Police Officer Daniel Hodges. He was there on January 6th. We discuss. And first congressional district candidate Peter Barca. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be a part of this fine production. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. is on the board. It is Halloween. I got my Misfits shirt on, and we're going to dive into it. Got a big show for you today. Charles Franklin, the director of the Marquette University Law School poll. He's going to join us at 4:30. Going to dive into some of the very interesting numbers here in the state of Wisconsin. Also, Dr. Melinda Brennan, she's the executive director of the ACLU of joining us at 5. And Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's own political editor, going to check in at 5:30. Going to talk about, saw him. Recently here in Milwaukee doing a panel. Charlie Barron was a moderator, him and a right-wing talk radio host, Scafidi and Schaefer, on the stage talking politics and life. And we're going to dive into some of that. Maggie and I were in the room in the back making some noise. So we'll talk to Dan about that as well. Kamala Harris in Arizona right now, and she was Madison last night. Donald Trump was in Green Bay last night. And I guess this is where we have to start with with Donald Trump. It was interesting.
Weird.
He was playing up the garbage comment made by President Joe Biden. Very, very insulted. The whole mega world is so upset about name calling.
That's a first.
Donald Trump, but to play up the garbage comment, tried to get into a garbage truck.
He did.
He leaned over, missed the handle at first, thought he was going to bite it. Finally, pulled himself up and got into the truck. And I got to tell you, folks are noticing it. He's kind of dragging his leg around. I mean, the guy's 78 years old. And he hasn't released any health records other than his former doctor saying, oh, he's the healthiest guy ever. Didn't look very stable whatsoever getting into that truck. Anyway, he got in the truck and people were asking him questions. Of course, the comments made by the Kill Tony comedian guy at his rally at Madison Square Garden, still upsetting some people, rightfully so, referring to Puerto Rico as a pile of trash or garbage in the ocean, you know, that kind of comment. He was asked about that from the truck. So let's play cut number one, if you will, please, Jess.
I don't know anything about the comedian. I don't know who he is. I've never seen him. I heard he made a statement, but it was just a statement that he made. He's a comedian. What can I tell you?
I heard he made a statement. It was a statement that he made. He's a comedian. What can I tell you? How about that was inappropriate and it was offensive, and I apologize for bringing that guy on stage. How about that, Trump? No? Can't do that? So you're going to deny it had anything to do with it. And this quote was longer. I don't know who brought him in. He didn't know anything about anything.
Well, what's new?
But he does know that his supporters are apparently way better than Harris's supporters. Yeah. So let's hear that. Cut number two, please.
Sure.
My supporters are far higher quality than Crooked Joe or Lion Kamala.
So he's got, so low quality supporters for Crooked Joe.
Yeah, that's fine.
Lion,
that's fine to
say. That's fine. Lion Kamala.
Fine.
Also fine. But garbage.
I mean,
that's too far. Well, you know how Trump is. Let's play cut number three.
They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. I'm going to protect them.
Whether you like it or not, he's going to protect you. He's going to force his protection upon you. How?
No.
How creepy is that? How out of touch is that?
It makes me want to claw off my skin.
I'm going to protect women whether they like it or not. You're going to carry that baby whether you like it or not. See? Kind of the same tone here.
Precisely.
So that was embarrassing, and now he's going to be, what, coming to Milwaukee, as will the vice president tomorrow. But Harris did have a comment on that. Let's hear her response to Trump, number one, please.
Listen, it's just, it actually is, I think, very offensive to women in terms of not understanding their agency, their authority, their right, and their ability to make decisions about their own lives.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's so spot on. Let's play the next one, please.
Whether he has said, as he has, that women should be punished for their choices, whether he has talked about his pride in taking away a fundamental right from women.
It's all a pattern.
He's consistent in that regard as well. I mean, there are some things he's consistent in, and that is some of them. 855-752-4842. Governor Tim Walz getting in on the action as well. Walz is great. Let's play cut number one, please.
You got it.
This dude's nearly 80 years old. He damn near killed himself getting into a garbage truck. You would think over 80 years you would understand how a tariff works. Smarter people than Donald Trump, which is a good chunk of folks, CEOs of companies like Black & Decker, AutoZone, and Columbia have gone on the record to say if Donald Trump goes forward with this plan, they will simply have to raise prices and pass it on to you. Donald Trump saying China will pay for those tariffs the same way Mexico paid for the wall. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. There's an article in the Journal Sentinel today talking about tariffs. Fixation, a bike company, brings in bikes from China and other places, already paying tariffs under the current administration. Those would go up dramatically under Trump's proposal. And what do you think they're going to do? They're not going to eat that cost. They're going to pass it along. That's how it works. But Walz also jumps in on the women comment. Let's play cut number two, please.
Those women you're thinking about right now have fewer rights than their mothers or their grandmothers have. That's what he did. Now, 20 states have the Trump abortion ban. Last night, Donald Trump said that if you're a woman, he'll be your protector. And he also said this. Imagine that this was a moment of self-reflection for him. He says, I know a lot of people don't like that. Oh, no shit. They don't like it. But here's the scary part, people, because there's no excuse for not hearing this, because he said it. He said, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. That's how this guy's lived his life. That's why he was on the Access Hollywood tape, and that's why he ended up in court, because that's what he thinks about. Women turned away now because of what he's doing from emergency rooms to get basic care, having miscarriages in parking lots, survivors of rape and incest being forced to carry their attacker's child.
Walz lighting it up. And, you know, we think it's funny, it's a joke, but it's terrible. It is so out of whack, even for a guy like Donald Trump. Axios also takes note. Whether the women like it or not, Trump's words fan the GOP gender gap. Oh, yeah, there's a gender gap. Just a little bit here, then we'll get to the lines. 855-752-4842. Trump vowed to protect women, whether women like it or not, at a Wisconsin rally Wednesday, drawing sharp blowback for a campaign that's already floundering with women voters. Though his comments came in the context of discussing crime from undocumented migrants, Trump's words evoked his history of bragging about sexually assaulting women and his role in overturning Roe v. Wade, which turned many women away from the Republican Party. Women far outpaced men in early voting in states where results reported by gender, according to data from the University of Florida's election lab. If early voting statistics are any indication, there could be a dramatic gender gap on display in exit polls. And I've seen some more further reporting and speculation that perhaps all this early turnout, even with Republicans, is not necessarily going to be great for Donald Trump. And the Lincoln Project has an ad out where they're showing women going into the voting booth and looking at each other and winking and saying they're going to implying they're going to vote for Trump at the end of voting for Kamala Harris. And oh boy, are the righties mad about that. We'll get to some of that sound. Charlie Kirk, he had something to say about it, as did one of the Foxy guys. 855-752-4842. We got some callers here. Let's get to it. We got Mark. You're first today. Welcome, Mark. Happy days. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jess. I'll protect you. Doesn't that just give you a warm feeling if you hear something like Donald Trump saying
it
like that?
It gives me a boiling rage.
Yeah, that's gross. It's scary, Charlie, man. It's Halloween, Charlie, Mark. It's pretty scary.
And Jesse Waters, how he met his current wife is he let the retire so he could rescue her when he was... Probably he was married to somebody else at the time, and
oh, Jesse Waters, yes.
Oh, good. That's just so creepy there that it just is.
Well, and he's very concerned about this Lincoln Project ad, Mark. In fact, he said if that were to happen, what was it? I think he said.
Do you just want to hear it?
Do we have it?
We have it.
Oh yeah, let's play that
one. Let's play it.
Jesse Waters.
And if I found out Emma was going into the voting booth and pulling the lever for Harris, that's the same thing as having an affair.
No, it's not.
That to me.
Oh my God. Let him finish. Jesse.
That violates the sanctity of our marriage.
Preach on. Yes.
Come on.
What else is she keeping from me?
Exactly.
What else is she lying about?
Why would she lie to you?
Jesse
has threatened her. Why would she lie to you?
Oh, they want me to tease.
Why would she do that and then vote Harris? Why would she say she was voting Trump and then voting Harris? And I caught her, and then she said, I lied to you for the last 4 years.
So you admit you intimidated.
It's over, Emma. That would be D-Day.
D-Day. Mm-hmm. That would be D-Day. This guy would divorce his wife, who he coaxed into a date by letting the air out of her tires so he could give her a ride. That's how he ingratiated himself to her. I believe he was.
Yeah, that sounds very healthy.
Yeah, he's a man's man.
Mm, yes. Gross.
Jesse Waters, gross. Definition of masculinity.
Oh, yeah, he knows all about it.
And the funny thing about the whole hoopla the righties are having, and it's not just him, it's also Charlie Kirk. Do we have time for that one?
Not this segment.
Okay, we'll play the Charlie Kirk and we'll get to some of your calls as well. 855-752-4842. The ad was put out by the Lincoln Project. And the Lincoln Project are a bunch of Republicans. You know what I mean? And Charlie Kirk is insinuating, basically putting this on the Harris campaign. Oh, this is terrible. I can't believe it. I'm so sickened by it. All the things that you say and do, Charlie Kirk, and you're sickened by an ad by women going in and voting for Harris. It's the funny season. It's a silly season. It is. It's Halloween. Happy Halloween to us all. Gonna play some Misfits. Gonna play some fun music for you. Got some great guests coming up. Charles Franklin at the bottom of the hour. Gonna come back with more of your phone calls after the short break. 855-752-4842.
Listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time. Lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. It is a phone line. It is a text line. We've got a few texters out there already, the early innovators from the 608. Apparently, I missed an important detail about Jesse Waters. He not only let the air out of his producer's tires, I believe it was the woman, he was married at the time to someone else. Well, you know, that'll happen. Mark says Emma should serve Waters with papers soon. Again, the right is just going nuts. A woman would dare go against her husband and vote for Harris. And maybe it's the lying part. I mean, I would imagine, you know, women I know are strong enough to say, hey, I'm going to vote for Harris. They'd be like, you better vote for Harris. I'd be like secretly voting for Trump, you know what I mean? But it's so over the top. It's so reactionary from these Republicans. It's kind of just, it's creepy. So we have Charlie Kirk as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, we do.
Let's hear what he had to say about these
sure.
Lincoln Project kind of ads.
And she needs people to basically lie to their husbands, which they are promoting, by the way, which I find that entire advertising campaign so repulsive.
Repulsive.
It is so disastrous.
Oh, my goodness.
It is just like
I'll show
the
it in a minute.
It is the embodiment of the downfall of the American family. I think it's so gross. I think it's so just nauseating where this wife is wearing wearing the American hat. She's coming in with her sweet husband.
Her sweet
who
husband.
Probably works his tail off to make sure that she can go. You know, and have a nice life and provide to the family.
Yes.
And then she lies to him saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump. And then she votes for Kamala Harris as her little secret in the voting booth. Kamala Harris and her team believe that there will be millions of women that undermine their husbands and do so in a way that it's not detectable in the polling.
Well, here's the thing. These are ads put out by the Lincoln Project and other groups. What was the other one? I think there was one. Vote Common Good. Narrator Julie Roberts says, quote, in the one place in America where women still have the right to choose, you can vote any way you want and no one will ever know. And while I'm assuming Harris would be supportive of anybody voting for her in any circumstance, these are ads put out by third party. This isn't coming from the campaign. So, Charlie Kirk, nice try. And give me a frickin' break. Oh, you know, your husband provides so good for you. You got such a nice
husband.
Oh, man, I work so hard to provide for you, and you lie to me and vote for that lying comrade Kamala. I mean, come on, man. Charlie Kirk, you are what's wrong with this country. 855-752-4842. Gary from Sussex, you are up. Happy Halloween. Gary, what do you got for us?
Well, I find it ironic that this big hoopla of last weekend with garbage and the thing about the Puerto Ricans, it's funny that neither one of them, Kamala Harris or Trump, said these comments. You know, because it was a Trump comedian that said the thing about the Puerto Ricans, and then Biden said the stuff about people like me, basically garbage. Any of his supporters, Trump supporters, are garbage. Okay,
and he did try to clean that up, and Kamala did back away from it. You're making a good point though, Gary. These are things that were not said by the candidates themselves. However, I would put it more on Trump than on Harris. I mean, the president is the president. It's his administration. He can do and say what he wants. Now, for the campaign, that probably wasn't great. He tried to back off of it and, revise it with the comma and whatnot. And Harris, totally disavowed it as well. She knows that's not the right thing to say or do. But this guy was invited on Trump's behalf, man. He was the opener. He was warming the crowd up. They saw his script. They saw those jokes. They removed one of the jokes, according to the reporting, Gary, where he was calling her a C-word and not communist. You know what I'm saying? So they went out there and did that and said that, knowing that was going to be part of the act, according to the reporting, Gary. And while the campaign came out and said, oh, we don't believe that, Trump, just even yesterday, doesn't say that it was terrible. It's not called for. I disavow those words. He's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know who did it. I don't know who my campaign. Someone did something. He's a comedian. What can I say? He said some things. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. Yada yada. You know, all you got to do is say, no, that's inappropriate. That's not acceptable. And let it be. And you don't even need to apologize. Just acknowledge that that's not okay, Gary. And he didn't even do that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So if you don't do that, you're kind of like supporting it if you don't denounce it, Gary. Now you go.
Yeah, I agree. I listened to this guy tell this joke, and when he said this, half the people in that place were booing at him. And
yeah, the other half were laughing, though, Gary. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. But the fact of the matter is, I think that his intent was not to say that the people were, because they dumped their garbage out into the ocean.
No, man, come on. I'm telling you, though, I know what you're saying. It wasn't his intent. I don't believe that. It was absolutely his intent. He was making fun of the black guy with the watermelon joke. Come on, Gary. I mean, that was the entire purpose of it, is to be. Let me ask you this, Gary.
One more.
No, let me ask you a question, man. I'm very curious. I know you're a Trump supporter, and I don't think you're a terrible human being. I don't think you're trash, Gary. I think you're misguided. But what do you think about folks that are in fact racist? You know, that support Donald Trump. Or those that are bigoted, or those that are, anti-LGBTQ. You know, do you think that is okay behavior? Do you think that's trashy behavior? Is that acceptable behavior? How would you describe those very serious, super racist, awful people? What's the appropriate word?
This is how I live my life. What would Jesus do? And I don't believe that Jesus would be out there knocking people, making jokes about gay people or whatever. He sat there and ate with the tax collectors, which were the worst people on the planet at the time. So I go by, what Jesus do. My customers, I have gay people, I have black people, I have everything. I love my customers. I don't care what they do. Now, I have my own beliefs, but what I would do, how I live my life, but I'm not about to tell anybody how to live their life. And I don't believe you should be making jokes about people. Now, I do want to make a point, one thing, about I believe that Kamala Harris would have won the election coming up if the Democrats were a little smarter. If they would have put her out later because of the problems with Biden, if they would have postponed the convention like 2 months, Kamala Harris was so popular right after the convention. So was Trump. You get that big swing afterwards. She would have been the president of the United States hands down if they would have had the convention.
Real quick, yes or no answer, or Gary. Would Jesus vote for Trump or Harris?
You know what?
Uh-huh. Come on. Yes. Who?
I don't know.
All right. Thank you, Gary, folks. This is the Tom Salvi Show. We have Charles Franklin from the Marquette University Law School poll coming up next.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. If you want to vote early in Wisconsin but still haven't done it yet, your window is rapidly closing. The final day for in-person early voting in most communities is Friday, unless your municipality offers early voting over the weekend. There will be no in-person early voting anywhere in Wisconsin on Monday to give election workers the time they need to prepare for Election Day. For details on when in-person early voting will be offered in your area, you should check with your local clerk. If you can't vote early over the weekend, you'll have to wait for Tuesday. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is urging residents to sign up for health care coverage when the open enrollment period launches on Friday. In a statement, Governor Evers praised the Affordable Care Act as a game changer for Wisconsin families, which saw over 250,000 residents sign up during the last open enrollment period. Governor Evers has also called for an expansion of Medicaid, claiming it would bring in nearly $2 billion at a crucial time for the health care industry. The open enrollment period will end on January 15th. After collecting nearly 300 submissions and narrowing them down to 10 finalists, it's time for Duluth residents to vote for their favorite in their first-ever snowplow naming contest. Among the 10 finalists are names like Sled Zeppelin, Blizzard Wizard, and Edgar Allan Plow. Residents have until November 4th to vote for their favorite name on the City of Duluth's website, and the winner will be announced on November 11th. The winning name will also be displayed on the snowplow at the Christmas City of the North Parade on November 22nd. A group of Duluth area renters took to City Hall on Wednesday for the unofficial launch of a tenants' union. About 100 members attended the event, calling for improved affordability, livability, and availability of housing in the city. Many complained that in addition to an overall lack of housing stock, much of the housing stock that does exist is far too old and in terrible condition. They also complained of mistreatment and a lack of communication from landlords when problems arise. The union seeks community-led solutions for the housing issues. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Most people who cause a nuclear meltdown while working at a nuclear power plant would likely lose their job, not Homer Simpson. In last Sunday night's episode, it was revealed that despite his gross incompetence, Homer was never fired because his father Abe was a PI. The episode revealed that Abe's partner was taken out by Mr. Burns, who assured Abe that his son Homer would always have a job if Abe didn't snitch. I guess I should have spoiler alerted that. If you haven't watched The Simpsons, you've got 36 seasons to catch up on. The show airs Sunday nights on Fox. Bruce Springsteen is on record as refuting the Forbes info that says he is worth over $1 billion. The boss says he is not a billionaire, and it's because he spent money on superfluous things throughout his life and does not penny pinch. He also says he is a good boss and pays his chums in the E Street Band handsomely. Springsteen says it was never about the money, but always about making great music. He's done well on both fronts. One of these days, maybe he'll have Taylor Swift money. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Snow possibly mixed with rain this afternoon, and it could be heavy at times. And those winds are whipping, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, crashing our temperatures with snow accumulations around 2 to 4 inches. A winter weather advisory remains in effect through 8 p.m. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 35.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48 to 47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, could there be winds of change blowing through the northern part of Wisconsin? We'll talk to Kyle Kilborn running against Tom Tiffany. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Happy, happy Halloween to us all. Super jazzed as hell to introduce Charles Franklin, the pollster extraordinaire from the Marquette University Law School poll, the final poll before Election Day, Marquette University. Charles Franklin, welcome back, man.
Classic music, baby. I love it.
You know what
perfect
I'm saying?
Perfect for the day.
It is perfect for the day, and this poll is perfect for the day because it's scary. It's scary to me, Charles. It's getting tight. Let's start at the top line, if you would please, sir. What's going on between Harris and Trump?
In the presidential race, a one-point Harris lead, 50 to 49. That's down from 4 points at the end of September. Throughout the year, we've done 7 polls on the presidential race. Every one of them has been inside the margin of error. And some have had Trump up by just a little bit. Some have had Harris or Biden up by just a little bit. So we end the year basically the way we've seen it all the time, a very, very tight race.
And the senatorial race, Ara Hovde running against the incumbent Tammy Baldwin, also seems to get in a little closer.
This also seems to have tightened. At the end of September, we had it as a 7-point Baldwin lead. That was up from 4 points around Labor Day. But this time, it's just a 2-point lead, 51 to 49. Both races, we've seen the partisans coming home to their party's candidates, and I think that's particularly helped Eric Hovde, who was not well known even among Republicans early in the year, but now that the end of the campaign, Republicans know him, generally like him, and have come home to vote for him in the Senate race as well.
You also discussed early voting. I thought that was an interesting concept. But what are you looking at there, and what do the numbers tell you, Charles?
Yeah, Democrats are really into absentee by mail. And we see a 70% for Harris, 30% for Trump among people who say they either already have or they plan to vote absentee by mail. But the absentee in person is leaning to Trump a little bit, 52-47. And finally, the people that say they're voting on Election Day in person, 56 for Trump, 44 for Harris. I think this is in some ways not surprising, given Donald Trump has spent 4 years saying bad things about absentee by mail. Republicans have been reluctant to embrace that. But the party has been pushing Republicans to vote early this year. And I think the solution has been, in our data, that those Republicans voting early are preferring to do it in person, while Democratic early voters are heavily dominating the absentee by mail.
We have, to my understanding, Charles, record early voting going on across this country. Lots of folks, millions, 50 million people already perhaps already voted. You have a sense of the breakdown. You know, my assumption would be, well, you know, early votes are generally Dems. But, of course, as you mentioned, Republicans are now getting in there as well. Any sense on the crossover? Or like Republicans could, hey, I'm voting early, but maybe they're voting for Harris. You know, what is your sense on that?
Yeah, I think that's the danger of trying to read too much into just the counts of the early votes and what counties are they from, for example, because I would bet you that the absentee by mail from the Republican counties in the state is probably a lot of Democrats doing that. Yeah. So you really don't know from the county whether that's mostly Democratic or mostly Republican early voters. You know, polling is imperfect on this, but we just talked about what I think is the best evidence I have for it, that the early vote in person is leaning Republican. The early vote absentee by mail is just enormously Democratic. And this sets up the scenario like we saw 4 years ago, that the Election Day vote count that we see from 8 o'clock until 10, 10:30, 11 is probably going to be pretty heavily Republican relative to where we finally end up. And then in the as the absentees come in, especially from Green Bay and Milwaukee and Kenosha, where they do central counts that start late and usually end after midnight, we'll see where the balance turns out. I should also point out this is not a new phenomenon. It was true in 2018 as well, pre-pandemic and pre the controversy about early voting that came in 2020.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Charles Franklin, pollster for the Marquette University Law School polling. Final poll before the election next week. The breakdown I thought was interesting as well. The demographics. What did you find? Does anything stick out, jump out for you on the demographics?
I think there's a lot there. You know, we've talked a lot about the gender gap this year, and appropriately so. Women are going 14% for Harris, by a margin of 14% for Harris. Men are going 12 points for Trump. So that's a 26-point gender gap.
Wow.
And when Biden was in the race, it was still a 21-point gender gap. But Harris is 5 points higher than that. It's not record-breaking, by the way. It was 30-point gap in 2016 and actually 32 in 2020. So the gender gap is related to gender, of course, but it's not driven only by the gender of the candidate. But as big as that is, some of the other differences, demographic differences, are almost as big or bigger. For example, 18 to 30 year olds are going 22 points for Harris.
Wow.
But basically Gen X, those 45 to 59, 10 points for Trump. So that's a 32-point gap by those two age groups. The other two groups, the 30-somethings and the 60-somethings, are basically dead tied. And we see the big city differences that you'd expect. Cities are 36 for Harris, but the countryside, rural and small towns, 23 for Trump. And we've heard a lot about education gap, and that's showing up this year as well. Non-college voters, 7 points for Trump. College graduates, 18 points for Harris. And then the single biggest that of the groups I looked at, born-again Christians, 60 points for Trump.
Wow.
And religious nuns, the people with no religion, 51 points for Harris. So that's swamped some of the other gaps. And those two are not tiny groups either. Born again is about 18%, and the religious nuns is also in the high teens, low 20s.
I noted enthusiasm still up for both parties right now. That continues to be strong. That's a great indicator, folks. Get out and go vote. You did some polling on immigration deportation as well. Obviously, this has been a big thing for Donald Trump, saying he's going to have this massive deportation effort. You asked some very specific questions about criminal records and whatnot. Let's just start at the top. What are folks thinking about generally supportive of deportation? What's the number?
Yeah, we've asked three different questions about it, and it shows that how you frame the issue really affects what the response is. So the simplest one is, do you favor or oppose deporting immigrants in the U.S. illegally, period? That's sort of the Trump framing of the issue. And we're seeing near 60%, just a shade under 60%, in favor of deportations. But then to another half of the sample, we ask the same question, but at the end say, including those who've been in the U.S. for a number of years, have jobs and no criminal record. With that question, the answer just reverses. It's about 40% in favor, 60 opposed, when you mention that long-term residence, jobs, and no record. And finally, we've been asking a different version of the question since 2013. About whether undocumented workers who are in the country should be allowed to stay and eventually apply for citizenship, should be allowed to only stay as temporary workers, or should be required to leave the country. There, we were seeing about 50% in favor of a path to citizenship. That's down a little bit now. But those in favor of required to leave the country has doubled since 2022, up from about 15% to about 30%. Hmm. So you can see that across those three different things, how we think about the immigration issue and the deportation issue really depends on how the question's framed and who is it that people are thinking about, given the way the question's worded.
Charles Franklin from the Marquette University Law School poll for just a couple more minutes. Favorability. I always love this one. I think this is a great indicator. What'd you find out between the candidates?
Yeah, there's been a little shifting as is usual in the end game of a campaign. There's lots of negative advertising that usually drives up both candidates' negativity. And that happened in this last two polls. Harris is at a net not minus five, meaning 5% more unfavorable than favorable, 47 favorable, 52 unfavorable. That's worse from negative three is where she was last month.
Okay.
Trump has also moved down to negative 14 from negative 11 a month ago, 43 favorable, 57 unfavorable. And the two vice presidential candidates are both pretty close to zero now. A little narrowing for both of them, a little improvement for Vance and a little decline for Walz. I think a takeaway is that if people were voting on the personalities of the candidates, this favorability measure shows Harris with an advantage. She's also better off on has the right temperament, is honest, and is intelligent compared to Trump, though Trump has an advantage on has strong accomplishments. But when we look at the issues, the economy and immigration both favor Trump. Abortion policy, which is the second most important issue, favors Harris. But when you put it all together, 46% say Trump would be better on the issue most important to them. 43% say Harris would be best. So a 3-point Trump lead on issues, but Harris leading significantly on personality.
And also the favorability of all the national candidates, the number that stuck out to me, Jill Stein at a negative 22. Why? A lot of folks not a fan of Jill or just don't know about her?
Well, 60% don't know about her, but that's a lot less than don't know about the other third party candidates. I think there's been a fair bit of coverage of Stein and the Green Party and what effect that could have on the election, what effect it may have had in 2016 and to a lesser extent in 2022. So I think there is a little more visibility of her in the recent political coverage. And you see that showing up in this fairly negative view of her. But more people know about her. The other third party candidates are like 80% and more that don't know about them.
Charles, just a couple minutes left. Abortion, the big issue we've constantly polled on that. Has it moved at all?
Hardly at all. The biggest change that came after Roe versus Wade was overturned in the summer of 2022 is a bit of a decline in the percent of people that say abortion should be illegal in all circumstances. That was running about 12% before Roe was overturned. It's down in the high single digits, 7% or so. But that seems to have just moved into the illegal in most circumstances. Overall, though, 2/3 say abortion should be legal in all or most circumstances. About 1/3 say it should be illegal in all or most. And there just hasn't been a whole lot of movement in the balance of those two, even after the Dobbs decision overturning Roe came down.
Charles Franklin can find the polling at law.marquette.edu/poll. Charles, speculate with me, man. Who's going to win? Pick your side. You got any speculation? How about this? I know you're not going to do that. When do you think we'll actually have an answer won?
I sincerely want to push the point that if Trump wins, you shouldn't actually be surprised. If Harris wins, you should not be surprised. It is so close that either of those could certainly happen. A big surprise would be if either of them wins by more than 3 percentage points. As for when we'll know, I think we'll get the absentees finally in the 2 o'clock range Wednesday morning.
All right.
But if things run slower, it could be 4 o'clock again.
Thank you, Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School polling. Stick around, 855-752-4842.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th starting at 6 p.m. on 910 a.m. WBZH and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. I want to thank our most recent guest, Charles Franklin, the Marquette University Law School poll. It's a scary poll. It's Halloween, and it's a scary poll.
Oh, boy.
Harris by one, certainly within the margin of error. Mm-hmm. To Charles' point, don't be surprised if either one of them can win. Be surprised if it's 3% or something like that. I got to tell you. I'm thinking 3%, 4%. Yeah. Come on, I gotta be positive about this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there really is a huge demographic of people who aren't being represented in these polls.
Yeah.
I think people are just so damn sick of Trump.
855-752-4842. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Some of the texts. Looks like Tyler, bye-bye brain. All right, Tyler, you'll be all right. Here's one from the 414. Nicole Wallace, MSNBC for the win. She expressed amazement that Kirk and Waters don't think women ever faked anything. Charlie Kirk and Jesse Waters very upset at the Lincoln Project ad, which I think is great. What else we got here? Google this. Some from Linda in Milwaukee. Trump and Mosania, September 7th. We did Google of that. Thank you, Linda. We did Google it.
We did. Let's take a listen.
Jess has it. Let's hear it.
And it's not her. It's the people that surround her. They're scum. And they want to take down our country. They are absolute garbage. And
interesting.
So they're garbage. They're scum.
They're scum.
But anybody else, it's seems hypocritical, doesn't it? 855-752-4842. Jack from Racine. Hey, Jack, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello. I wanted to talk to you about Trump's Madison Square Garden rally that he held. And, the real issue is that the Trump folks and Trump hired someone they called a comedian who called Puerto Rico an island of garbage. Mm. That's the real issue that's there. But former President Biden did talk about that so-called comedian. Mm. And it was misquoted by the AP as I read the article. When one reads the transcript, it actually says, okay, you've got to see, think of the difference between the word supporters, just spelled out, meaning plural, many people, and the word supporters where there's an apostrophe between the R and the S, and then it refers to the person in the next sentence. So he said, this guy's, this supporter's comments were garbage. And they were garbage. But it was taken by the press as put as meaning plural. So that's not what Biden said, but it just tried to, Trump has tried to cover it, including cover his own big body, big ass with a garbage suit of Green Bay.
But, he looked so goofy.
I think most people, when they just figure it out between supporters without an apostrophe and supporters with, that he was referring to the so-called comedian, not to Trump's, the people who back Trump.
All right, Jack, thank you for that clarification. And I think either way, man, and thank you for the call. Either way, Trump's going to jump on that, right? He does it anyway. I mean, he takes things out of context all the time. So I'm with you. I don't think that a guy like Biden is just going to willy-nilly insult every Trump voter just because they voted for Trump. I mean, it's politically terrible, number one, and it's just not right. It's very reminiscent of the deplorables from Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
But Donald Trump and the Republicans and the GOP, man, they say all sorts of terrible things
constantly,
all the time. I mean, it wasn't just Jack. It wasn't just the joke about the Puerto Rico, this terrible, insulting joke. They had a guy up there with a cross telling the crowd that Harris is the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
That's okay. And I mean, I'm telling you, when we just talked to Charles Franklin about the polling and how the evangelicals are, you know, very much in support of Donald Trump, which I don't get whatsoever. I mean, what would Jesus vote for Trump? I mean, honestly,
no.
Folks, what would Jesus do? We had this conversation with Gary briefly, and we ran out of time to get his answer. I know, but come on, you cannot tell me if Jesus existed. You know where I'm going. If that were to be the case, that he would support someone like Donald Trump, based on what are the teachings or the quotes of Jesus in the Bible, would make you think that Donald Trump, a fraudster, a criminal, convicted criminal, right? I guess wasn't convicted criminal, not yet. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Adjudicated rapist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, a flanderer cheating on his wife. Mm-hmm. Cheating on his third wife with the porn mm-hmm. star. Jesus is going to vote.
Someone who hates his neighbor.
I just don't buy that.
No.
I don't buy that. Let's see what else we got here. 855-752-4842. We got some more texters on there. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. We promise. Thank you for joining us. Stick around next hour. We have Dr. Melinda Brennan. She's the executive director of the ACLU of Wisconsin. Going to check in with the ACLU folks. And also at 5:30, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's own political editor, going to dive into the conversation. How do we talk to those who may not agree with us? Well, I think it's pretty easy, right? You treat people generally with respect. And I like to, you know, call out BS when the BS is there. You can do it with a smile, but don't take it. You don't just accept don't accept the BS. Push back. You know, someone asked, we were talking out last night, out way too late last night, solving all the world's problems. Someone asked me, what are you going to do if Trump wins? I'm going to be louder if Trump wins. 855-752-4842. Come back with us.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from Bob's Burgers and Parks and Rec actress Jenny Slate. Then Chicago-based film critic Mariah Gates joins the show to talk noir. All this and the popcorn pick of the week.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.